there's a great snake-eyed, sawtooth beast we call the animation industry. Rolls over the landscape, just a-chopping and a-slicing and a-deflavorizing on in its path. We pause to remember them furry, more independent critters a-running for their lives in its wake. The ones doing it for the love, trying to make their rent, trying to make their footage count, trying to get bought by Nickelodeon, trying not to get bought by Nickelodeon. As they cross the great flaming desert to the temperature-controlled vault where the grapes of wrath are stored. This is their story. These are their words. This is why you should never start smoking before you're six. It's the Animation Show Podcast.
Can you believe it? You got me the one day I left my phone here while I went to lunch.
You are nuts. How true Hollywood story.
Can you believe it? You didn't record that, did you?
I started the recording before I started talking. That's okay, though. I don't have to include it, but I can if it's funny.
Well, I don't know anything that's funny.
Your work disproves this. If I should...
You might have me mistaken for someone else.
Hi, it's the Animation Show Podcast. My name is Taylor Jessen, and I'm talking to Corky Quakenbush, animator extraordinaire.
Hello, Corky. I'm sure you have me mistaken for someone else. But hi.
Yeah, because I must have you mistaken for someone else because there's no animator of that name. It's just a guy named Corky Quakenbush, as we all know from reading the IMDb. And can I just say for whoever might be transcribing this interview later, Quakenbush, 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 Quakenbush? Can we say it again? Quakenbush, Quakenbush?
How about Quakenbush?
IMDb people, hello, that's not an alternate name. That's his name.
You're calling from Disney?
Yes. Do you have caller ID?
Yeah, but it's funny because I've just been dealing with some people at Disney Channel.
In a positive way?
Well, you know, I mean, it's Disney Channel.
So. Yeah, I do.
I don't know.
Was it about Ricardo by any chance?
No.
Oh.
It was, no, that's way too progressive for them. They'd never go near Ricardo with a 10-foot pole.
You are... now sporting a lot of interesting shorts at superdeluxe.com. Tell me how you hooked up with them.
Well, actually, they found me. They were looking for, interesting content and people who had a record of producing short films that many people enjoyed, and I was glad to fit into that category.
They are commissioning work from you?
Yes, they are.
That's good.
Yeah. And the other person I've been doing short film work for is nationalbanana.com, and that's been very enjoyable, too. That's Jerry Zucker's website. I don't know if you know who Jerry Zucker is.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, most people do, but I'm surprised at how many people don't. But I think they know more the Zucker brothers than they do Jerry or David.
Well, you've got this thing, these tendrils of history going back into lots of really important, interesting comedy people who were trying to make it in the 70s and doing things on the stage and then bringing the stage work to film and then bringing film work to TV. And we talked about that last time, which I don't know if that's ever going to be put into the public sphere. A really fascinating conversation, which at some point all of the podcast listeners will have to get, which is Corky's life story. But
Well, you're probably talking about Harry Shearer and the folks from Spinal Tap.
Yes.
Is that it? Yeah, that was really an amazing, eye-opening experience for me to be part of that, because that was my first time ever working with such comic genius, you know, all around me. And it influenced me to do a lot of my own, you know, I was always interested in mockumentary stuff even before Spinal Tap. So by the time I discovered that it was a big put-on, which actually took me the first half of the first day as a camera assistant to figure out, oh, I get it now.
You probably got it faster than the executives that they pitched before did.
It could be, but I was lucky to be on actually the demo that Rob Reiner shot to try to raise money for the whole thing.
Are you in it, or did you work on it?
Well, I'm in it, but, you know, I'm a flash here and there because Rob was like, don't worry about the camera guys. They look like part of the crew. So the cameras were all around, and so were we. So you can see little bits and pieces of me here and there. But
no. Oh, that's classic. You're on a supplement somewhere, so we'll be looking for you.
Yeah, but the funny thing, Mike, the cameraman that I work for, H.J. Brown, who is my mentor in the business, he's in, like, the third shot, where they have a shot of a cameraman singing a camera in Michael McKean's face. And that's my old pal, H.J. He taught me everything I know about making movies.
Classic.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got 10 films up right now at Super Deluxe. How much have you got at NationalBanana.com?
I think I have 5 up there. I have one animated piece, and the rest are live action. Role Models, Priestoff, and the 2 with the webcam hot live chat.
Hey, baby, what'll it be? Just tell me what you want and I'll do anything. You know it. I do anything for you, dear. Anything, just tell me what makes you swoon. Oh, baby, pass the Astroglide, we'll see what fits inside my peach like paper minute poon.
Now, there's a live piece that you perform, I believe, Respect Your Elders, and that's over at Super Deluxe. That's you, right?
In right, mask? Yeah, that's me.
This is
a love it or hate it piece.
Is this a new foray for you, or have you been doing a lot of live action and it just hasn't been attached?
Yeah, actually, I did that piece back in 1994, I think.
This is vintage stuff, and it's just now seeing the light of day.
Yeah, well, you know, now we have YouTube, so it's kind of like, and Super Deluxe, where you can kind of post your own stuff, so.
And nothing ever dies when it's on video.
It's true. There's so much stuff I realize that I haven't put on that I want to put on that's retro and really funny. Like, I had this thing of my daughter when she was 4 years old. She's now 25. And she was, we did a parody of No One Compares to You, Sinead O'Connor, cover of Prince's song. And it was, no one complains, no one complains like you. And I think I'm searching for that because I know I have it somewhere, and I'm going to put that on YouTube because I think that'll be a giant hit.
That's going to be a major awe factor.
I think so because it's really funny.
Your latest wheeze for the animation show, I understand, is starring a crotch-binding sloop. You got to tell me where in your head this cat came from. not cat, but Yompy. And what is a Yompy?
Well, it's one of those things that the origin has escaped me. I probably had a nightmare about Yompy or something. And a Yompy is a crotch-biting sloop. He doesn't want a salad, a sandwich, or soup. But he's a lovable crotch-biting sloop. And I don't even know what a sloop is, but I know that he is one of them. And that's what he does.
Okay, that's good data to start from. I mean, I'm looking at this completely anthropologically. I see him as basically an anglerfish, but that works off the cute. That's his hook, is the cute?
Yeah, kind of. You know, he's very endearing. I mean, he's a really kind of cute character. He's kind of a mix between Pillsbury Doughboy and Bob's Big Boy, and, you know, he's got that kind of soft serve swirl of hair, yellow hair. Yeah, he gets himself, he moves right in there. I guess he kind of reminds me of cats. Cats will sometimes, you know, they'll be real friendly until they turn on you.
What's Yompy made of? Because I know the old lady, you're working in a lot of different, I can tell you're rocking the plasticine in there, I think, but...
Well, you know, I haven't used plasticine in a long time, ever since I discovered Sculpey, because melts like crazy under lights, and Sculpey doesn't, and Sculpey's got a nice stretchiness to it. It doesn't show fingerprints as much as plasticine did, so I haven't used plasticine in, 15 or 20 years.
So Sculpey is your big, it's what you're using in all the rest of the items as well?
Well, as you can tell, I really like my models to be not so much clay, because clay's a pain in the butt to deal with.
Do they both leave fingerprints, by the way?
Yeah, they do, but Sculpey tends to not pick them up as quickly.
That's good. That's an advantage.
Yeah.
Unless you like fingerprints, and I've talked to some animators who do.
Well, you know, it depends on what you're after.
This is true.
But if you're looking for a funky look like that, it's certainly cool. I mean, Ricardo was all plasticine, so he's in that world. I've been wondering whether to make him in Sculpey or not, or just kind of leave it all gooey.
That's a tough decision there. If I could vote for my Ricardo, I would say make him so he's looking like he's just about to fall apart.
Yeah, well, that's not hard.
That's his character anyway.
Yeah, he's always trying to fall apart. But I want to do one now. It's great. They're making a new Incredible Hulk. So once again, the Incredible Hunk becomes relevant. It seems like, oh, well, I did that one where he's his favorite superhero incredible hunk, and then it's no one will remember this now. It's so old and it's dated, and then suddenly someone will make a remake of The Incredible Hulk, and it's relevant again.
The sales for Animation Show Volume 1 are going to skyrocket. Here he comes, right. The Incredible Hunk, just trailing little bits of green plasticine everywhere he goes.
And I was like, oh my God, this came out like how many years ago? And this guy foresaw The Incredible Hulk coming out.
Hi, I'm Wicardo. Know who's my favorite superhero? The Incredible Hunk. Normally, he's normal, but when the bad guys get him mad, then he starts to turn green and his muscles get big and finally his clothes explode. And it looks funny. But I can't remember how come he does that.
Are you really more inspired by things that are happening right now? Because, I mean, when you look at an animator who also works in stop motion like Pez, he's trying to do a lot of things that are as not timely as I think he can. But you're digging satire and timeliness more.
Well, I don't know. I find the stuff that's funny that's around me that strikes me at the moment. And, you know, if it's something that can be worked into something. It's kind of like this thing I did called the Get Your Wish Foundation that kind of rides the crest of things that are going on now and then. It's about a little boy who, you know, is dying of some undisclosed illness, and he wants his final wish, and he gets it. And I won't say any more than that because the shocking climax has to be seen to be believed.
Okay,
exactly
now,
what it is that he wants.
Okay, Rob May gave me a log line for this, so I have some idea of where it's going. But can you tell me where it's going to end up? Have you done it yet?
Oh, it's done. It's completed. I just haven't found a home for it yet because people are afraid of it.
All right.
And then another friend, this is Toby. Toby and his friends are going on, and, you know, this is kind of relevant also because I don't know if you've noticed all the talk about Angus beef. You know, everybody's serving Angus beef, proudly serving Angus beef. We serve Angus beef. Well, it just so happens that Angus beef is 85% of all beef produced in the U.S. anyway. So it's kind of like saying our juice is made of oranges. Mm-hmm. That's right, oranges. You know, because chances are that's what you're drinking anyway. And that's the kind of beef you're eating in your hamburger anyway. So to tout that as like a selling point is kind of silly. Anyway, but Toby's convinced that it's not pronounced the way you're saying it. It's not pronounced Angus. It's French or Japanese or something like that. They don't pronounce the G that way. They say nuh for the G. His friend says, you don't know what you're talking about. No, you're not pronouncing it right. It's pronounced Angus. So then he goes on to explain to the waitress, he questions her about everything about her anus. And so that's another thing that's kind of relevant for now. But
and this is a work in progress?
That's also completed.
That's also
another
completed.
Thing people are a little bit afraid of, believe it or not. But anyway, that's their problem. I might put that one on YouTube. I don't know yet. Because I like Toby.
There are all these places you can stick them, the places that will buy them, and if no one will buy, then America has its YouTube corner.
They do, yeah.
And the whole world has it now, really. And the whole world can look into one animator's kitchen or one psychotic Midwesterner's closet.
I mean, some things are fun, you know, they're not necessarily to sell. They're just, you know, if you can sell them, it's fun, but if you can just get some people laughing, that's a good thing, too. It's like my little thing, Santa's Favorite Treat, that's on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
You know, I did that specifically for YouTube, not really to sell it. And people tend to like it. And some of them have even watched it and avoided pushing the button that says, hey, this shouldn't be on here. Kids are watching. I put it up 3 or 4 times, and it keeps getting knocked off. Suddenly flag it. They go, wait a minute, those elves look underage.
People often have a greater emotional attachment to things that you give away for free.
Do they? I wish I had a nickel for every time Raging Rudolph got viewed on YouTube, because then I wouldn't have to work anymore.
If emotional attachments were nickels.
Yeah.
You got to tell me about your studio. You're based in somewhere in Los Angeles, correct?
Yeah, we have a new studio. It's not new anymore. We've had it for about a year now. It's in Culver City, over by the Fox Hills Mall, if you know where that is. It's by there's a little industrial park over by the junction of the 405 and the 90 Marina Freeway.
When I look at Yompy and I look at something with a lot more set design in it, like Cupid Busted, it seems like you're perfectly willing to work flat and also work in a really nice, complicated set.
Well, you know, Yompy screams out for simplicity, because it's really only one character, and he pretty much does or tries to do the same thing every time. He doesn't always succeed, as you might have noticed in one of the ones that is not going to be in the animation show. That's the whole thing with Yompy, is it's not really Yompy, it's the people who interact with Yompy. Kind of like, it's not really the jerky boys, it's the people they call.
Right.
That kind of makes it funny. So everybody has a different reaction to Yompy. I want to do Yompy with a police officer and a construction worker and a cable guy and a little girl in a bikini and, cover all the grounds of everybody.
The interesting part of any piece of performance art is always the person who is not performing. In the performance art, you got the art, and then you got the person living their life.
That's right.
Do you make your own sets? Are you the builder?
No, I have a bunch of talented people who are much more talented than me that I'm lucky enough to work with. Like, for instance, Yompy was mostly animated by Kevin Glick under my direction.
Is he the gentleman who did Auditions?
He is, yeah.
That is one of the funniest things I've ever seen on the net.
Very, very talented guy. I think he's up at Leica right now. I'd like to see him do some of his own stuff. He's got an amazing repertoire of ideas. Some of them are not that commercial, but some of them are, really. And he's a guy who will go far.
Auditions. Scary monsters.
Next. Next.
Okay, how are you scary?
They all say cigarettes will kill you. Not cigarettes may kill you. Not, there's a cigarette under your bed. I'm gonna kill you. Yeah, admittedly, it might take some time, but come on, smoke me.
Next.
My name is Becky. I'm 4. And I'm the devil!
Is there any news on the Ricardo front?
No, not really. I haven't really been out and pushing Ricardo too much lately, but I might do some more of them.
For background, this is, in our last interview, we talked about Ricardo and how you'd shopped him around a bit. That wasn't generally part of the animation show propaganda for people to read about, but we had a really nice conversation about how you'd taken it to some people who, A, didn't get it, or B, got it, but were kind of afraid.
Well, that's the thing. It's like a lot of people have responded to Ricardo either they're afraid of the fact that some people might consider him retarded instead of just like a precocious, goofy, deep-voiced 4-year-old. And then those who think it's funny and, want to then change it, which is pretty typical of the TV business anyway. They're kind of like, oh, we love this, now let's tailor to our audience. Well, wait a minute, you know what your audience likes. They would be kind of like what they like, right? Yeah. Well, why wouldn't they get this? Well, it's just that we need to do this with it. And it wouldn't be bad if it was, let's do this with it, and it kind of fits his character. But when it's a complete restructuring of who the person is, who the character is, it just doesn't make any sense, because they would be destroying the very thing of it that made them laugh in the first place. They want to repurpose the character. They think the character's the thing. And like, I don't know, what's a good analogy? If you were to take an actor, you can kind of fit them into other roles if you want.
Yep.
It's not a character fitting into other roles. It's an actor. And I don't think they get that sometimes. I think they figure that anything they want to do with this character is going to retain the magic of the character, even if they dress him up in a suit.
And you have either a feature or a nice half-hour special about him trying to drive.
Well, actually, the feature would be kind of a road trip feature.
Yes.
But it's all happening in his head. It would be like a Pee-wee's Big Adventure, but in clay with Ricardo instead of Pee-wee. But I also have a Christmas special, which is probably what I would do before the other thing, because I think that's much more manageable. And and really hilarious, and the beats are all in there. I just have to write the script.
That's cool. It's a Wallace and Gromit track. They started as half-hour specials and then became a feature. When they're now going back to another half-hour special. So you have that to look forward to. You're going to do your special and then a feature, and then you're going to go back and do the Ricardo special Thanksgiving.
That's Ricardo. Right, for Thanksgiving, he heard from his mother that they're going to have Turkey Quank is going to be there. You ever heard of Turkey Quank? His mom's talking about how, well, Ricardo doesn't really eat meat, so I'm going to probably get Turkey Franks. He overhears a Turkey Quank. Turkey Quank, he's a cowboy that rides on the back of a turkey. And he comes in whooping and widin'.
I think you could deliver a Ricardo for any holiday, and you could probably give me a log line on the spot and board it. You could probably
is the one you want to see because he stays up late to watch the Freddy the 13th marathon. he's I'm gonna stay up and watch Freddy the 13th. So Freddy the 13th is gonna come out and get him, a la The Ring.
I can see him now.
He watches about 6 seconds of it before he's petrified. Speaking of Mr. Rogers, I saw a really, really funny thing on YouTube with Mr. Rogers and Coco, the signing gorilla.
It's a real clip?
It was a real clip with Penny Patterson, who's the one who taught Coco. I happen to have met Penny Patterson and Coco, so I knew it was authentic. And Mr. Rogers was there to meet this gorilla, and it's really funny because he's, Coco's saying how she loves him, and the next thing you know, she's kind of got her giant gorilla arms around him, and it looks like he couldn't get away if he wanted to. Completely locked down by Coco, who's like, and we started, of course, making up our own dialogue, like, Coco, love you, Coco want you stay, Coco need you now. No take. Coco, keep.
And this aired. This is not an outtake?
No, well, this is our, the dialogue we were putting in for Coco. You can see it on YouTube if you do a search on Coco. Coco talking gorilla, or Coco signing ape, or something like that.
Okay, and you redubbed this?
No, this is just
your fun project at home.
The reason I brought it up was because we're doing something for Super Deluxe now. It's my installment. I have four pieces I'm going to do for them, which are a series of Brian and Chester. And Brian's a boy scientist, and his gorilla, who's sign language, that he's taught sign language to, Law of the Jungle. And that'll be coming up soon. We're shooting it right now. It'll be on Super Deluxe on commission from them.
Right on. Okay, so right at this moment, your work can be seen at Space Pass Films, of course, and at superdeluxe.com and at nationalbanana.com.
Right.
And
anywhere else.
Various miscellaneous, yes, miscellaneous items at YouTube.
I don't get any credit for those. Unless you go, I don't know if you can go to Space Pass Films on YouTube. You can see some stuff there. And I'll put some more stuff on there probably, too. And I've got to revamp my whole website because it's really...
Well, it's got a charming, endearing early '90s look to it.
Yeah, but it's so informational versus entertaining that I want to change all that. I haven't gone near that thing in years, so it's time for a revamp. The ultimate thing is to put everything up in rotation so everybody gets a chance to see kind of everything. I probably have. I kind of did a kind of a quick count, and I think I have about I've made over 100 shorts. Maybe at least 60 or 75 stop-motion animation shorts.
Well, someday, triple DVD, man, I can see it happening.
Yeah, but then by that time, there will be no DVDs anymore. Everything will be online.
Exactly. We will have chips implanted in our eyes.
Be waiting for things from Netflix anymore.
Well, until that day, I thank you for catching up with me. And
same here.
It's been excellent talking to you, and again, Animation Show podcast listeners, I've been talking to Corky Quakenbush. That's Quakenbush. That's Quakenbush.
How did you pronounce that again?
That's Quakenbush.
I always thought it was Quackenbush.
Somebody told me that, too. Corky, thank you very much for hipping us to the correct pronunciation of your name and for telling us all about the fantastic new projects. Looking forward to new stuff.
Thanks, Taylor. Take it easy.